Amen. If you haven't turned in your Bible yet to Romans chapter 1, I invite you to do so. And also in the bulletin will be an outline that will go along with the outline, or excuse me, with the PowerPoint, if you find that helpful. And we appreciate your attention to the Word of God. By way of introduction, let me share something I saw on TV the other night. I don't often watch too many Christian TV stations or networks, what have you. But the other night I was watching a TV preacher, and I won't use any names, but this TV preacher was preaching, and he was very convincing. And what he had to say was very inviting. Here's the kind of the gist of what he had to say. He said that God wants to bless you, and God wants to forgive you. God wants to give you a new life, and God wants to become your best friend. All you need to do is believe in Jesus. Now pray this prayer with me. And he proceeded to lead in prayer. That sound about right? I've given something of an invitation, something of a wrap-up of a message, something similar to that. The problem, and I've begun to realize this in greater measure in my own life, my own heart, my own preaching, it sounds right, but it's not fully the gospel. The problem that we're having in our church today, not only in America but other countries, is that we are not preaching the full message of the gospel. And today I want to do that by way of the scriptures. I invite you to stand with me. Let's read from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. We're going to read in unison together. Let us begin. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who was to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Christ Jesus. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. And Father, speak to us now from your word. In Jesus' name. What is the gospel? And as we read these words here from Paul, we are struck with a number of things. The gospel is what Jesus says it is. It is not what even preachers say it is. It is what Jesus says it is. And the job of preachers like myself is we need to get in line with Jesus' words. We need to get our preaching in line with what Jesus says. The problem that what bothered me the other night when I was listening to this TV preacher is he was just trying to boil it down to the most easiest, most innocuous thing that it could be for people to come and you know, put their faith in Jesus. That is not the gospel. You know what? Jesus never did that. In fact, Jesus, it seems, as you read the words of Jesus, it seems like he almost tried to thin the crowd. Listen to these words from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If anyone desires to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If anyone would come after me, if anyone desires to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, the cross, as we use that word, That the cross does not have the impact today as it did in that day. Most of us have, you know, we'll wear a cross around our neck. It's a decorative piece of jewelry. And it's beautiful, it's gold-colored or silver-colored, and, you know, that's what we think of when we think of a cross. Or we see a cross here that's lit up, and it's nice, it's got a nice, it adds to the atmosphere, you know. The cross, listen to me, you with me? Say amen. The cross is a symbol of torture and death. And so when Jesus says to them, you have to get the impact of, when Jesus says to them, take up your cross daily. I think they were probably like, what? Take up my cross daily? And Jesus says, yes. Take up your cross. Take up this symbol of death. Die to yourself daily and follow me. This is the gospel. The Christian life is not an issue of just believing in Jesus, whatever that means. And the problem is that you have to define that. When you say that today, it can mean a million different things to different people. Well, just believe in Jesus, you know, just like you kind of believe in the lottery. Believe in Jesus, you know, kind of like you believe in the tooth fairy. Believe in Jesus, you know, because he's our benefactor in the sky. That's not what believing in Jesus means, and please just don't misunderstand me. I'm not being overly critical of that particular preacher. I'm being critical of preachers in general, including myself. We have to get ourselves in line with what Jesus says. When Jesus says, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me, you and I must come to Jesus on his terms. You cannot come to Jesus. You cannot be a Christian on your terms. And I think we really need to be honest about this, folks. I mean, many of us are calling ourselves Christians, and we are not Christians. We are not. Because, you see, if you're not following Jesus, if you're not dying to yourself daily, according to Jesus' definition, you're not a Christian. Now, I'm not here judging anybody. Only God knows your heart. Only God knows if you are truly saved or not. I'm simply able to look at the outside. And what I see in many, many places in the church is anemic, disobedient, carnal Christians. And we're bringing great shame and disrepute to Jesus and his gospel. Now, I'm putting myself in here. I'm preaching to myself, folks. Please don't think I'm here to beat up on you. I am preaching to myself. Now, we are not saved, understand me, we are not saved by following Jesus in the sense of making effort, of self-effort. We are not saved by that. Yes, I am aware of the Scripture. We are saved by grace. We receive salvation. We receive His forgiveness through the gospel, and we receive that gospel by grace. It is all of grace. It is not of my effort. For it is by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. But once we are saved, we are called to something. We are called. Jesus gives a call to us. And here, Paul explains it. Paul fleshes it out for us that we are called to the obedience that comes in the faith. Let's break it down. The main point is this. God calls us to belong to Jesus and then to live out our faith in the obedience that He gives to us so that grace is seen in us. God calls us to belong to Jesus and then to live out our faith in obedience so that grace is seen in us. Let me ask you a question today. Is grace being seen in your life? And how is that grace seen? How is grace seen in us? I think we have a tendency as humans to be kind of prideful, proud. I'm a pretty good Christian. I've given up this habit. I've overcome this habit. I don't curse or swear or chew or go with the people that do. And we begin to get this spiritual pride that comes in. And what happens is, you begin to look down on others that maybe are not as far along in your Christian walk as you are. Please understand, that has nothing to do with you. It's all about the grace of God that is working in us. The grace of God that calls us to obedience, and the grace of God that allows us to stand in obedience and walk forward in obedience. But to obedience we are called. Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 11, he said, "Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Does not mean that we do nothing as disciples. And you know, I've heard that kind of gospel explanation many places. All you need to do is believe in Jesus. You know, just put your faith in Jesus and that's all you need to do. No. That's not what Jesus says. He says, "Are you weary and heavy laden? Are you burdened down with life, with the things of life? Are you burdened down with your sins? Are you burdened down with your failures? Are you burdened down with problems and issues and broken relationships and the brokenness of life? Is it weighing down upon you?" He says, "Listen, if you're burdened, you're heavy laden, take my yoke upon you and I will give you rest." You see, you don't get the rest without the yoke. And there's many Christians today that they want the rest, they want the blessings, they want all the good things that God has for them, but they don't want the yoke. "Oh, Jesus, I got this. I really appreciate that you want me to put my head into this yoke so that you can lead. I really appreciate that, Jesus, but I got it. I can handle this. I can do this pretty well. In fact, I'm doing pretty good, Jesus, aren't I? I'm doing pretty good." And sometimes we feel that way, don't we? Let's just be honest. Sometimes I feel that way. Anybody else want to be honest? Like, "Oh, I'm being honest. You feel that way? God, I'm doing pretty good, aren't I, God?" The problem is we misunderstand as humans. We think it's about that, but it's not. That's why Jesus says you have to die to yourself, because the self is so deceitfully wicked. Jeremiah says the heart of man, the heart of mankind, humans, is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? See, here's the problem. We can't even know our own hearts. That's why God has to reveal our hearts to us. And so, it doesn't mean that we do nothing as disciples. No, we take up His yoke and we follow as He leads. We are called to obedience. Let me ask you, as I launch into the rest of this, are you taking His call seriously? I think that's a question that we have to ask ourselves. Are we taking His call seriously? Because, you see, I was watching on YouTube. I tried to pull up some YouTube videos that had an illustration about the yoke. And I couldn't really find anything appropriate, so I forgot that idea. I just threw that idea out. But one of the things that kind of fascinated me is, you remember back in Deuteronomy, the Lord said, "Don't yoke an oxen and a donkey together." And, you know, for those of us who are agronomists or have some kind of a farming background, we might understand it. I had no idea what that meant or why. But as I watched the video, I understood. They're two completely different animals. The ox wants to work. It has a certain rhythm. And that ox kind of has a side-to-side shift. And it gets going and it gets in a rhythm. And that ox can do an amazing amount of work. If you put another ox with it, they kind of work in rhythm. See, I'm white and I have rhythm. Not much. But then they took the one oxen away and they put a donkey next to the oxen. And you know what happened? That oxen wanted to go. The donkey was so stubborn, it just sat down. And you know what the oxen did? It just did a circle. It just kept doing a circle. Because the oxen wants to work, but the donkey, being stubborn, just sat there. You know where I'm going with this. There's some of us that we're like that donkey. And we are yoked to God, but we are just sitting there planted. And God is circling with us. And you want to know, some of you are dealing with issues, and you can't understand why God is not fixing, helping you with this issue, why this issue is not going away, why you keep coming back and circling around, bumping up in this issue over and over and over again. You know why? Because God is not going anywhere until you get off your rump and you allow yourself to be yoked to Him and move as He is leading. See, God will be just fine and content to go around in a circle with us until we're willing. You see, because God doesn't need us. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need us to do anything for Him. He's not sitting up there worried, saying, oh my goodness, Pastor Tom didn't do what he's supposed to do this week. I'm all upset and bent out of shape about this. You know, we have to understand that obedience is for us. Obedience is for us. It's for our blessing. It's for our good. And you see, many of us are in that holding pattern. We're circling around. We think we're moving. We think we're going somewhere. But the reality is we're just in this circle, this holding pattern. Let's break it down further. Number one, then, we see in this passage that we are called to belong to Jesus. And folks, this is really the starting point. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, the first call that God has for us is to come and belong to Jesus, to give Him your life. That's the call. You and I have to come to Jesus. There's something that we have to understand. That call is something of a mystery, because that call comes from God. Now, Paul starts out and he says, I am called to be an apostle. Okay? This word, kaleo, means to be invited, to be appointed, as one is invited to a banquet. You get a specific invitation. Now, Paul himself talks about when he was invited, called to come belong to Jesus. Do you remember what happened? He's on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9. He is in a holding pattern. He is in a circle. He's going round and round and round. And God says, you know what, Paul, I'm kind of tired of this. I don't want to play this game anymore. So he takes a 2x4 and he says, whack! And he smacks Paul upside the head. Paul falls off his donkey and he gets up and he's blind. Now, he didn't really use a 2x4. It was kind of a spiritual 2x4. But he gets up and he's blind. He can't see. And he hears this voice speaking to him. And this voice says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, who are you, Lord? He can't see. His eyes are blind at this point. And so he's trying to discern this through his ear gate. And he's saying, who are you, Lord? And Jesus speaks to him, says, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. See, Paul thought he was really helping God. And God had to correct him. And so Paul talks about that call, how God called him to belong to Jesus. The one you're persecuting, guess what? He says, get up and go and to a certain place, to Simon the Tanner, and you are going to be my chosen vessel to take the gospel to the Gentiles. He's called to belong to Jesus. Then he's called and appointed specifically to be a preacher of the gospel. Well, watch this. You and I, we may not be Paul. We may not have a dramatic, exciting experience like that, which I don't need. Thank you. I don't need to be smacked in the head with a 2x4. But nevertheless, you and I are called to belong to Jesus. Through the preaching of the gospel, God calls us to belong to Jesus. We just read it here in verse 6. He says, and you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus. The Roman Christians that Paul does not yet know, he is writing to them and he says, I know something about you. I may not have met you, but I know something about you. You have been called to belong to Jesus. How does that happen? There's a mysterious way that people come to faith. God draws us and calls us to know Him. Listen, if you're here today, God has called you to belong to Jesus. Now, whether you have responded to that call or not is another question. If you belong to Jesus, we know God has called you and drawn you and enabled you to come to Jesus. John 6:44. No one can come to me, says Jesus. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him. A little bit later in that same chapter, he repeats it again. This is why I said to you, verse 65, no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. You see, you and I don't choose Jesus so much as Jesus chooses us, and we say, yeah. Yes, Lord. You see, we are drawn. So if you're here today and you know Jesus Christ, then you have been drawn, you have been called. Why is that important? Because you see, we have an enemy who constantly tries to defeat us, tries to discourage us, and you gotta know that you know that you know that you belong to the Lord. And you see, because if it was based on us, based on our performance, based on what we do, man, that would be a really big problem. But it's not based on what you do. In fact, even coming to Jesus, moving towards Jesus, is because we're being called, we're being drawn by God's power through the Holy Spirit. I remember sensing that drawing in my own life. As a young man, moving into adulthood, and I've shared this story before, you know, we make our plans, right? We make our plans. And we think, well, this would be a good idea to do this. And so for me, I chose, you know, to go in the college direction. And I remember thinking, God, is this really what you want from me? I remember as I'm signing up for courses, electronic engineering, I remember thinking, kind of in the back of my mind, God, is this what you have for me in my life? And I didn't really give it too much thought other than that. Just kind of a fleeting thought. God, is this what you have for me in my life? But guess what? All of a sudden, I began to sense this drawing in my life. And it, you know what? God was not interested in so much of my occupation about what I was going to do in college. He wasn't so interested in that. You know what he's interested in? My heart. He began to draw me and call me to belong completely to Jesus. You see, because up to that point, I thought I did. I thought I did, but I certainly wasn't living out the fruit of obedience in my life. And I remember, I sensed that, and I had to make a choice. And over a period of time, to God's glory and grace, I said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, I will serve you with my whole heart. I remember bowing my knee before my bed and said, Lord, all of this is just way too great for me to try and understand. But one thing I know is that you want me to give my life to you, and so I do that. And then other things followed. Do you sense God calling you and drawing you here today? Are you here today and do you sense God calling you and drawing you? Maybe you've never given that much thought. Maybe as a young person, you've never really thought about that. But I have to ask you the question, do you belong to Jesus? And if you say, well, I think I do. I've grown up in the church, or I've been coming here for a while. And you know what, Pastor? I go to the youth group. And you know what, Pastor? I've gone to the district youth retreat. And you know what, Pastor? I've even gotten baptized. Well, those are good things. But only you can answer from your heart, do I really belong to Jesus? And we're going to see in just a minute how you know that. You can know that you belong to Jesus. I remember sensing that. How about you? Are you here today? And maybe it's to a deeper commitment. Maybe you sense God calling you to a deeper commitment today. Maybe it's not to belong to Jesus in the first step. Maybe it's to a deeper commitment. Maybe it's to a deeper level of obedience. You see, to belong to Jesus means that He is ours and we are His. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So So we are called to belong to Jesus. Number two, we are called to live out our faith in obedience. We are called to live out our faith in obedience. Verse 5. Through Him and for His name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship, to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. The word obey means to attend to fulfill it carefully. How many of us are taking this seriously, where we're seriously considering, God, what do I need to do to obey You? Not to be saved, but because I'm saved. What do I need to do, Lord, to obey You? What is it that You're showing me? What is it that You want me to do in my life in terms of obedience? Well, that's an easy question. Number one, Jesus said, the greatest commandment is what? Oh, that was pathetic. The greatest commandment is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, He says. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let me ask you a question. And you know, you don't have to answer it out loud, because we would all be embarrassed if we answered things out loud like this. But are we serious about this? Do you wake up each day and are you serious? Lord, today I want to love You. Today, Lord, I want to love You with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment, Jesus said. And are we giving it any consideration in our lives? Hey, I'm preaching to myself. Can you say amen to me? Preach to yourself, Pastor. Do we wake up and say, God, this day is not about my plans. This day is not about my job. This day is not about my classes. This day is not about my occupation. This day is not about any of those things, Lord. This day is a day that, Lord, I want to love You with all my heart. Now, you know, I will confess to you very openly, very clearly, that I fail in that all the time. But you know what? I'm not giving up. I hear His call, and I want to follow His call. I hear His call, and I am striving, fail as I may, I am striving to follow and love Him with all my heart. We're called to live out our faith in obedience. Jesus said it again. Before He died, before He gave up His life and went to the cross, He says to His disciples, He says, if you love Me, you will obey what I command. You see, we want to ask the question, okay, what does it mean, Pastor, to love the Lord? Well, Jesus said, if you love Me, you will obey my commands. We have a couple of scripture readings. First one is from 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, and Colby Garrett will read that for us.
We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what the commands is a liar, and the truth is not with him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did.
Back one verse for me, Kim. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. We're not talking about being perfect here, because none of us can be perfect. But can you be honest with yourself for a second? Are you even remotely interested in that? Are you here today? Can you say, Pastor, I want to obey God. I want to obey His commands. You and I have to answer that. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a what? Say it again. One more time. Ouch. This is not a warm and fuzzy sermon, is it? This is not one of those feel-good sermons. The one who says, I know, I'm a Christian. I go to First Church of the Covered Dish. And I got I went through confirmation. I'm a member there. I went through all the membership. I'm a Christian. But you know, if my walk does not line up with my talk, Jesus says, I am a... we're not talking about sinless perfection here. But my heart has to be towards the Lord. My heart has to be saying, Lord, I want to obey you. I want to obey you. 1 John 5, verses 2 through 3, and Judy Wolwak will read that for us.
This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome.
How do we know we love God? By carrying out His commands, by obeying His commands. See, we complicate things. We, you know, and a lot of us, if I went and had this conversation, you'd see, but, well, Pastor, you don't understand. It's so hard, and first of all, I do understand, because I is you. I'm a human who struggles with my own sinful nature, just like you. So I do understand. You know, some of you think, you know, because I preach the word that, you know, somehow I'm some super spiritual person. I'm not. I'm just like you. I'm just a regular person. But my heart longs to obey the Lord. I don't do it perfectly. I fail. I sin just like you. But I've learned from the word that there's a way to deal with that. That I don't have to stay right there. When I fail, the Word says that I am to confess my sin, I'm to forsake it, ask forgiveness, and I receive it, then I get up and I move on. I don't wallow in it. That's how we deal with our sin. 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just, and He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, Jesus said this to Peter. Remember the upper room, and Jesus wants to wash the disciples' feet, and none of the disciples took that honor upon themselves. None of them wanted to deal with the dirty, nasty, stinky feet. Of course, I know you would be the first one to do that. You'd get in and wash everybody's nasty, stinky feet, wouldn't you? I don't think I would have offered. I don't think I would have done. And so none of the disciples take the place of the servant. So guess what? Jesus gets up and He starts taking off His outer clothing and He wraps a big towel around Himself. And the disciples are like, Jesus, what are you doing? And He says, I'm going to wash your feet. And they're all like, they're dumbfounded. And He gets towards Peter, and Peter says, no, Lord, you will never wash my feet. You can never wash my feet. No, Lord, no. Now, I can appreciate Peter's heart. I mean, I would feel that way too. I'd be like, oh, Lord, I should be washing your feet. I know I didn't offer, but I should be washing your feet. And Jesus says to Peter, you don't understand. He says, I must wash your feet or you have no part of me. Well, Peter's foot and mouth disease kicks up and he says, okay, Lord, well, not just my feet, but all of me. Oh, Peter. I'm just like Peter. I blurt out things and say things I shouldn't. So Jesus says to him, Peter, the person who needs a bath, who has had a bath, doesn't need their whole body washed, just their feet. And He says, you are clean. All of you are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. You are clean. You're saved. You're mine. You belong to me. He said, you just need your feet cleaned. See, because in that day, you know, the roads were dirt and nasty and dirty. But what's the deeper point? Jesus is saying, listen, as you walk through this life, you're going to get dirty, nasty, stinky feet. You're going to fail. You're going to sin. Just like me. And He says, every day you need your feet washed. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You see, He draws us, He calls us to Himself, and He cleanses us of that. He cleanses our feet so that we can serve the Lord in holiness and purity and righteousness, not only positional, but in practice as well. Number three, and we're coming in for a landing. We are to live out our faith in this obedience through the grace given to us. Please understand, I am not preaching self-effort here. The obedience that we live out is through the grace that God gives us, not self-effort. Grace, as He says here in this verse, the grace given to us, we received grace. Verse 5, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Paul was operating in obedience out of grace. You see, the call to apostleship was empowered by the grace. Your call to live out obedience in your faith is enabled, is empowered by His grace, His divine enabling. Grace is that undeserved kindness, that unearned, undeserved favor and mercy and love and kindness of God. But watch, it also means that divine enabling. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How? Because the Holy Spirit is within me, enabling me, strengthening me to do all He calls me to do. You and I can't live out obedience through our own strength. We must do it through the grace of God. Grace is that strength to live in obedience. We are saved by grace, we stand by grace, and we walk and obey in grace. Is that clear? I hope I didn't confuse anybody earlier. It's by grace that we are saved, and it is by grace that we walk out our faith in obedience. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. Randy Denny will read that for us.
Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
We've gained access by faith into this grace. You enter into Christ, you belong to Him, and then you have the grace of God poured out in your life so that you can obey. I have so much more, but I'm going to have to cut it short. Let me just end with this. Live out our faith in the obedience that comes through grace and show your love for God. This is how you show your love for God. You live out your obedience. Charles Stanley, in our Bible study that we're doing together, the Men's and the Women's Life Principles Bible Study, I want to read a quote from him because I read this and I'm like, wow, this is powerful. So talking about living in obedience is this. When we choose to obey God, we take the way of wisdom. His promises of a blessing for obedience far outweigh any possible consequences. Let me read it again. When we choose to obey God, we take the way of wisdom because His promises of blessings for obedience far outweigh any possible consequences. And He asks us to submit ourselves to Him, and then we leave whatever happens to His loving care. I know the struggle. I know the struggle. Lord, if I obey You in this, then this, this, and this is going to happen. Lord, if I obey You in the area of giving, if I obey You the way that You want me to please You in this, Lord, I'm not going to have money to pay my bills. Lord, if I give You the first fruits, I'm not going to have money to pay my bills. You need to obey God, trust Him, and leave the consequences to Him. And if we had time for testimonies, I know there are numerous people that could stand here just on that issue alone. And could give testimony of how God was faithful to them, how finances showed up when there was no expectation of it, when bills got paid and you don't know how. You don't know. How did this happen, God? But it happened. You have an unsaved spouse or family member or loved one. And you know, you're just trying everything you can do. You are scheming and plotting and dreaming and scheming to get them back to God or get them to God. You need to stop. You are not God, and you make a lousy Holy Spirit. You commit that person to God. You say, God, I have no power to bring this person to Christ. In fact, every time I try to talk to them, it gets worse. They shut me down. The wall goes up. But you see, if we understand that God is the one who draws, God is the one who enables, God is the one who's calling to them, if we will get in line with God, if we'll get in the program with God and say, God, I don't like this because I feel like I need to be doing something and I can't. Anybody feel that way? I got to be doing something here, God, but I can't. I can't. In fact, when I do it, it just gets worse. I really screwed up. You need to just let it go, put it in His, commit it into His hands and say, God, I'm just going to pray in agreement with You, Lord. Lord, call this person. Call them and draw them to Yourself, Father. Do this work that only You can do. You know, do whatever you need to do, Lord. Whatever you need to do in their lives, draw them and call them. And then you rest in God. Easy to say, isn't it? And time doesn't allow me to go on. There's many examples where if we will just obey God, He will bring blessings of obedience. He will bring amazing things into your life. But if you don't obey Him, if you won't give Him the opportunity, it's not going to happen. Give Him the opportunity to bless. That's not the main motivation. The main motivation is because we love Him and we want to obey Him. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, thank You for loving us before we first loved You. And Lord, for calling us and making us Your own. We belong to You. And Lord, as we struggle to obey, not because we want to get saved, but because we are, Lord, just strengthen us with the Holy Spirit. But Lord, help us to take this seriously so that Your grace is seen in us and You are honored. Lord, help us to be serious. I pray for the ones that are here today that need to begin this walk, need to begin this relationship. And I pray that if they hear Your voice, that today they would respond with an open heart and say, yes, Lord, I want to know You. I want to follow You in my life. If that's you today, then we invite you, as the service is closed, come on up and talk to one of us. We would love to counsel you and pray with you, answer whatever questions we might have, and show you in the Word why it is wise to follow Jesus Christ. Lord, bless these people. I bless them as they walk out of here and walk with You this week. Lord, draw us close and help us to honor You. We pray all this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the people of God said, amen. Meet you in the lobby. Have a great rest of the day. God bless you.